everybody. Welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. I am your host, Jamie Dawn, and I am so thrilled to be with you today on Monday, March 18th, 2024. And this is a pre-recorded show, but that's only because I have some appointments that are going to conflict with today's show. This is still fresh information because I am recording it actually on Monday. So here we are, and we have 1 week for an eclipse. Now, it's a full moon. I'm going to talk about that and the fact that it's an eclipse. And we're going to talk about the various signs and how how ourselves are going to be affected. But before we do that, there's no doubt in my mind that One to Listen is going to be having some sort of eclipse sale. We also have sales on Wednesdays and Fridays very often. And hopefully you guys are feeling supported and loved by us because we are here to do just that for you. Also, I will be heading off to Nine Gates Mystery School. If you are listening to me for the first time and aren't familiar with the nonprofit work that I do, I've been a part of this community called Nine Gates Mystery School for over 12 years now. And I am the staff director for all the programs. And it is a beautiful opportunity, Nine Gates is, for us to be able to train like the sages, to be able to do the good work in the world by starting with mastering our own energy. This is about how we can seek direct experience as a path of transformation so that we can embody the teachings that we receive and that we can tap into our own inner authorities. Also, we learn how to access and harness all the energy fields of the body's wisdom, train our minds, and then die before we die. And very often that's where a lot of people can get tripped up to not quite understand what that is. But basically, we experience that what we believe is real and lasting is in fact a continuous process of arising from and returning to an undefined field. And that when we die in each moment to fixed ideas or our sense of self and other, then our rigid patterns of thinking and feeling, that we experience freedom and we are reborn. So it's this constant process of, as we often say at Nine Gates, grace and grief, grace and grief. And so we train and we have schools that are held twice a year, two different classes. And so that takes me away from my office for those 2 weeks while I'm of service to my staff, as well as the students that are there. And it's just a beautiful opportunity that is near and dear to my heart. So thank you for letting me explain that, and also for understanding when I'm not available during those 2 weeks, because I have to give my full attention to the program. So that also means that if I can hustle and really carve out some time and plan, then I will have other pre-recorded shows coming up as well that hopefully will be current and relevant for the energy for you and for what's going on. Excuse me. Got a little frog in my throat. So, of course, the big talk of the town is the eclipse in Libra Aries. And, you know, one of the things that I also point out is we are now in shadow with Mercury retrograding. It's going to retrograde April 1st through the 25th. And it's in the sign of Aries, which certainly makes it, you know, an interesting moment in time. I would think we'll talk about that a little bit because, you know, with Mercury in Aries, we often find our minds to be really quick and sharp. You think about Aries energy, and it's ruled by Mars, our masculine planet, the god of war and aggression, the god, the energy that says, how are you motivated? This is what motivates me to get things done, to assert myself, but also, of course, can become aggressive. And when we couple that with our mind, our thoughts could really get sharp. They could get, now that's good when we're trying to be quick with our thoughts or information, how we organize that information or how we learn, and we can learn very quickly. So it's a great time if you wanted to learn something new or you're wanting to orate, you know, communicate to others in a very strong and powerful way. This is a good time for that. But when Mercury retrogrades, in the sign of Aries, then our thoughts become more internal. And oftentimes there can be miscommunication because Aries is very impulsive and can say things that maybe aren't what they mean, or say things without thinking. And it can be very forceful also with our words and our opinions, which can offend people. So I have a feeling this Mercury retrograde could have a little bit of offensiveness to it if we're not conscious about it, right? You know, there's a lot of fast talking when Mercury is in Aries. And then when it retrogrades, that just means that we often could have some barriers and breakdowns when it comes to how and what we say. I always say, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. When my kids were younger and they were starting to use curse words and things like that, you know, I was the kind of parent that was like, you know, I don't mind if you use a curse word, just use it appropriately. You know, it's one thing if you were directing it at me, it's another thing if you're saying I had a shitty day, you know. But if you're like, you're a piece of shit, mom, well, now I've got a problem, right? So anyway, so those are the kind of things that we're going to want to just pay attention to that, you know, could come up. We might be really in a hurry to say what we want to say, and we don't take time to listen to others. That's another opposite, if you will, of Mercury retrograde in the sign of Aries, is that we just get caught up in our own opinions and ideas, and it has to be our way, and you know, that sort of thing. And we're just like, here's some information. It's sort of that hit and run kind of thing. And it doesn't leave a lot of room for people to be able to express themselves or to feel heard. And that also can create issues, especially in relationships, right? And here on this show, I like to reference the relationship piece because it's key. And so one of the biggest breakdowns in relationship that can create a lot of question marks, it can create a lot of issues, is miscommunication or not even speaking our truth. Now, the good news, I feel, with the Mercury in Aries, even in retrograde, is that we will most likely have the courage. Mars is courageous. Aries is courageous. We'll most likely have the courage to say some things that we need to say that maybe we've held back on. And also keep in mind that very often when Mercury is retrograde, we do have a tendency to bring things from the past back up, issues, people, situations that we're revisiting. So all the REs, right? We're revisiting these things so that we can redo them. And so the invitation is to take time to really get clear on what it is you want. What is it that you need? And communicate that in a way that feels appropriate for you. And you've heard me say this very often, that our words can harm or heal. That is something that we work with at Mystery School. And because we know this, our words could be weapons, or they can be a tool for transformation, a tool for healing. You know, the other thing I will offer with this Mercury retrograde is, again, we're in shadow right now until April 1st, but come March 5th, now I'm going to segue into the eclipse. On March 25th, we have our full moon in Libra eclipse. It's at 5 degrees, and that's when it'll be exact. And it's a 10 degree orb from the south node, but eventually the moon is going to touch and hug the south node. And when we're working with the nodes, this is what makes it an eclipse anyways, is that the sun and moon are close to the nodes of the moon. I like to work within an 8 degree orb, but anyways, we're going to have this eclipse. And with that moon touching the south node, that's another indicator of things from our past coming back or to be wrapped up, to be revealed. It's a full moon. And we think back to October 14th when we had the new moon eclipse, and maybe there were some themes that were set up then when it comes to relationships, when it comes to, balance or fairness in our lives, needing more of that. Think of the Libran qualities that may have come up for us. You know, for me, my example would be that the new moon had me in the eclipse. Oh, let me point this out too, that eclipses usually bring finality, or something has to end finally, in order for something new to begin. And there's usually not a change of plans or change of mind. Now, that's not a, that's a generalized thing. That is not an absolute, but very often, if you've made your mind up about something, that's that, right? And so, but I offer this in, on a personal level, that October 14th last year had me preparing my kids, my daughter and her husband, as they moved out here from the East Coast to the West Coast to where I am. They're only 20 minutes away. It makes me a very happy mom. And they were moving. They were in the process of moving out here during that eclipse time. And eclipses, remember, are fuller new moon on steroids. So we often feel their energy 2 to 3 weeks before, after. And it sets up, like I say, a 6 month, sometimes longer theme, if you will. And so I remember specifically that because it's my son-in-law's birthday, that on October 7th, his birthday, they signed their lease and started preparing their way here. So now I have Libra in the 10th house, which is the house of career status, reputation, that sort of thing. But it's opposing my fourth house, which is about home and family and roots. And so here I had a new moon in my 10th house, but the effects were in my fourth of home and family, right? And so they set up this theme of having them out here. And then my daughter, she actually has Libra in her seventh house, and she's an Aries rising. And so she's got Libra in her seventh house, and she got married during the eclipse time as well. So there's a, and that has to do with, right, seventh house is marriage, relationships, contracts, open enemies, competition, that sort of thing. And so I just find that so fascinating. So I use that example to, for all of us who are listening, to look back over the last 6 months and see what themes were up for you, because again, that may show up for you again, and but in a different way, or it might be a deepening. It could be an anchoring. It could be that there's something even more powerful that gets revealed during this time. You know, I sense that, and I've talked to my daughter about this, that, and she agrees that their time here, it's taken them a good 6 months to really feel rooted or more anchored here. And now they're finally settling in, and they're starting to feel, not necessarily that, everything is hunky dory, even though they're happy, but you know how it is when you move, especially when you move to a completely new location, that it takes time to settle. It takes time to feel like you're really integrating into the community, into life here, that sort of thing. And so they are finding their way, and it's a really beautiful thing to witness and be a part of. So let's talk about the eclipse here and how it could affect you by sign. So we're going to look at it. I use the whole house system, and we're going to talk, we're going to weave this into relationship as well when we're working with it. So let me start with Aries, of course. Well, do I want to start with Aries? Maybe. Yeah, we'll start with Aries. Okay. So of course, Aries, this is going to be right on your first and seventh houses. And so, because remember, we have a full moon. So the sun is going to be opposite the moon during this time. And, you know, Aries, with it being in your first and seventh house, you're really looking at you, and you're looking also at the other, right? And what is, who's supporting you? Who's supporting your efforts? Who's making you feel important? And I sense that and this goes for Aries, sun, rising, moon. I would look at all three of these, but you just want to pay attention to looking at the relationships that are serving you and that are bringing out the best in you. And if they're not, you may say, you're out of here. And do watch, because there's probably already been a bit of a theme that has showed up already about people trying to suck the life out of you, so to speak, you know, the energy vampires, as we call them. One other thing I want to point out for everybody with the eclipses is that very often there's chaos that ensues beforehand. could be a crisis internally, or it could be something external that creates stress. So if you're undergoing some sort of stressor right now, please hang in there. This chaos is here for us to meet it, for us to work with it, and for us to be able to let things go that no longer serve us. Even if it feels painful, remember that the universe really does have our back and is trying to give us the best opportunity to show up for ourselves and for others. So please, try and be as gentle with yourself and others as you can. Okay. And so Aries, again, you want to work with those who are supporting you and who give you the best qualities of yourself that really can, bring out the best in you. Taurus. So it's Taurus, Sun, Moon, or Rising. This is where boundaries are going to be important, and this is affecting your 6th and 12th house. You're going to be looking at, some deep healing. Maybe there's some spiritual wounding that needs to be worked with, because we know that when we're working with the three bodies, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical bodies, if you work with one, the other two are going to be affected, right? And so I sense, Taurus, that maybe there's been some spiritual wounding. Maybe there's addictions that you have held on to that need to be released. This is a great time for that. Look at patterns and themes when it comes to your work and your health, your routines. Those are all going to be probably coming up for you where, maybe your health hasn't been optimal and it's affecting how you are executing on your daily routines. This also could show that there's a coworker or someone that you deal with on a regular basis that leaves your life, and you're taking on more responsibilities and you're going to have to step in and create a new routine for yourself. And so this is a good time to work with any sort of imposter syndrome, if you have something like that, or like I say, if there's some spiritual wounding that needs to be worked with, this is a great time to work with a professional on being able to release some of those old woundings and patterns. I know that's not easy for a stubborn Taurus, but it would be really, really good. Okay. Gemini, we have, this is going to be in your 11th and 5th house. And so when we're working with our 11th and 5th houses, we are working with our social circles, our friendships. We're working with romance and casual dating, if you will. Also children in the 5th house. 11th house has to do with, our fulfillment of wishes. It's the fruit of the tree that we are sharing with others. That's where that social aspect comes from, the community, humanitarian kind of viewpoint. And so what you may find is that you're letting something go when it comes to a casualness or your creative expression, and taking it on a little more seriously where you share it with others. It's like, okay, I have something valuable here that I want to add. I want to contribute to the world and to others. And so this is how I do it in my own unique way. You may also find Gemini, this is again, Gemini rising, sun, moon, is that you may have a child or work with children that are finally making a transition for themselves, and you're supporting them, participating with them. Maybe they're moving out of the house. Maybe you are welcoming children into your life because fifth house has to do with youth. It has to do with children. And so you may also find yourself in a situation where your relationships with your friends change because they have to cater to their kids. Maybe you don't see them as often, or you are a new parent and you finally find your tribe. You finally find that group of young working professionals with kids that also support you and the dad days out, the mom days out, whatever. So this is a great time for something like that as well. And if you are looking at any obstacles that stand in your way of happiness, this is a good time to cultivate relationships and nurture the friendships that you do have, and allows you to be able to really shine. Okay, now we're looking at Cancer, Capricorn. And this, of course, is our 10th and 4th houses. And so this is where it will most likely affect you. And so we're looking at the public-private life, right? 10th is also the father and 4th house mother. And we work with the reputation, we work with status, we're working with things that also our private life, our home life, our roots, very similar to what I was talking about in my own personal life, because I'm a Capricorn rising with a Cancer sun and Libra moon. And so this is a theme that may affect those of us, Cancer member, Cancer Capricorn, that are, we're looking at our professional life and how we might want to boost it. And maybe we need to let something go in our professional life in order to create more space in our home life. Or we are elevated where we get a chance to step into a role that requires us to spend more time working than we do at home. And we're really trying to find that balance between the two. The other thing I would say is that this is a great time to let go of any sort of ancestral wounding, doing some work around that, working with a professional that might allow you to really own your roots and realize that as an adult, you don't have to do the same things you did as a kid. And it's a good time for you to own the leadership and expertise that you have in a particular area and in a particular field. Now, some of you will be stepping into a greater leadership role, which will require you to let go of the old way of doing things, mindset, that sort of thing. I often work with people who have transitioned from being an IC or an individual contributor into a manager or executive role. And that mindset is a big change because they were the executor of the work and now they're managing people and projects and they don't have to do all the work. And so how do you manage that without micromanaging and you're working with personalities? So I do a lot of coaching around that with individuals. So that may be something that comes up as well for you. Okay, so now we're going to move into Leo and Aquarius. And so that's going to be in your 9th and 3rd houses. And so when you're working with the 9th and 3rd house, you're working with belief systems. You're working with expanding your mind, having experiences that reach far and wide. And when we do that, our perspectives can change. You could have philosophical conversations about things. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. Okay, maybe my perspective was wrong. Maybe my view was too fixed. Easy for Leo Aquarius to do because they're fixed signs. Now in that 3rd house, so you've got 3rd house, maybe there's ideas and conversations that are being released. Practically, maybe there's a book out there or some sort of podcast or some way of getting your message out. This is a great time for launching it. And I mentioned the Mercury retrograde and the shadow side of it. If you're launching during this time, make it a soft launch. Try not to take it too seriously. Allow the space and grace for feedback. And as I mentioned with Mercury retrograde, sometimes that feedback could be a little pointed and may not feel great, but try not to take it too personally. But this is a great time, like I say, for you to be able to release any sort of fixed belief you had around yourself, around life in general. Maybe there's something that has limited you from breaking through to that next level. This is a great time for that. And there could be some, I'll say, existential crisis that shows up that pushes you or forces you to get real and to say, okay, maybe everything I thought about whatever was not working for me. And I need to create a new belief system and a new way of doing things. So that is something that could be up for you. All right, so now we look at Virgo Pisces, and Virgo Pisces, we are working with the 8th and 2nd houses. And so when we're looking at the 8th and 2nd houses, we are very much talking about my stuff versus our stuff, possessions, what do we value? You know, I always say you want to see what someone values, look at where they spend their time, money, efforts, that sort of thing, their energy, because The simplest way of saying it, and when I work with people on prioritization, I always say, well, what's most important to you? You'll find the time if it's that important. You'll carve out the space for it, So that's what you're looking at. You're looking at how you have combined your things or your ideas or your emotional bonds with another or others. And do they still hold the same value? Do you still want to be in that bonded partnership with them? You know, it could be a loan. It could be an investment that you made that is now finally coming to fruition. You've been waiting to get that joint account or you're waiting to get that joint loan, whatnot, then here could be a great time for it. Perfect example. I know somebody who was trying to get a bank account open with her husband, and they finally had made an appointment and went in person. They were trying to do it over the phone, couldn't get it done, finally went into the bank and got it done last week. Okay. So simple example, but that is one of that second eighth house that could show up. Also, you may be letting go of a particular income that you had and stepping into a new role. So if you're looking for a new job, you've been hunting for a while, this is a great time to find that new source of income and one that lines up with your values and holding for you to hold out until you get what you really wanted is appropriate. And I think that also is going to be really potent for you. And so now I'm going to move to Libra Aries. So remember, Aries, Libra, all the signs have a pair, right? And even though the Aries energy had to do with me versus we, and now Libra Aries would be fame, we versus me. So the theme could be very similar to Aries. However, the emphasis for Libra is more about me or we. And I want relationship. I want to collaborate. I want to include. I want to be in partnership because it makes me feel good. But I have to learn to maybe let go of a codependent issue, or I need to let go of the idea that I have to have a partnership in order to be whole and fulfilled, and that maybe I am whole and complete just as I am. Many of you Libra, Sun, Moon, or Rising signs are going to find yourself in an independent state where you may be doing a lot of things on your own. And that's not a comforting place for you because you love to be in that relationship and you love to have those connections. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this eclipse is kind of forcing you or pushing you out of your comfort zone to be able to say, I can do X, Y, and Z on my own and be really good at it and be okay with it. And I don't necessarily need other people's approval. And I think that's probably the biggest theme I would say, Libra, is that you're really working with letting go of needing other people's approval and just learning how to have radical acceptance for yourself. You may also find that if you're looking for love, that you end up with someone who is maybe very independent, doing their own thing. And this also can apply to business partnerships, right? Where maybe you partner with somebody in a new business, but you're both doing your own thing, if you will. So there's a lot of freedom within the business and within the partnership. And I would say, Libra, if for some reason you're in a relationship that has felt constrictive or it's felt unbalanced, that now's the time that you let that go because you're looking for someone who will reciprocate and someone who will give you that reflection that you're so much looking for in a partnership. Okay. So now we move to Scorpio Taurus. So again, we did Taurus Scorpio. Well, now we're looking at Scorpio and Taurus. And this is where if we're placing the sign of Libra Aries into the houses and Scorpio rising sign, then we're working with the 12th and 6th house again. Now, it's a little bit different than when Taurus was when it was Taurus Scorpio earlier. So the emphasis is more about letting go of any sort of issues that maybe have plagued your mind, maybe have really caused you a serious crisis within yourself. Maybe some things, some shadow work has come up that you just weren't even aware was there. And now it's getting revealed. It's like, wow, I didn't realize I responded that way. I didn't realize I was so fixed on certain things in my life, especially with my relationship with myself, my relationship with my own internal world. Maybe there's been some things that you felt were imprisoning you. And maybe there's a relationship, it could be a work situation, could be an addiction or a health situation, because we're looking at that 12th six houses, that maybe there's been something that's made you feel trapped and stuck. And this is a great time to get unstuck, but you have to face your fears. You have to face yourself. This is the greatest enemy, if you will, the greatest dragon that you're facing is yourself. And remember, the thing I love about the dragon is that it really is the keeper of the treasure, because once you get past that guardian of the gate, the treasure is there, it's revealed. And I sense that, Scorpio, you're going to find yourself in a beautiful position to open yourself up even more to those people and situations that bring out the best in you, that do love you. Maybe there's some past wounds that you just haven't been able to get past, you know, and there you've been fighting your own demons, so to speak. This is a great time to let go of those demons and to take a little bit of a chance on love, on relationship, take a little bit of chance to go deeper with those people and friends that mean the most to you. It's also a great time to plan for a retreat. If you need to get away for a little bit, maybe you've been talking about it. This is a great time for that as well, to start planning that or at least go. It's perfect, I would say, for my Nine Gates community. If there's any Scorpio Tauruses out there in my community, I haven't done their charts or anything. But if they're at Nine Gates, then that's perfect for this kind of energy. So then we look at Sagittarius and Gemini. And when we're working with Sagittarius, Gemini, we have that 11th and 5th house, with the emphasis more on that 11th house when it comes to being inspired and independent. And maybe you are shown as somewhat of a leader, or having to take courage when it comes to conversations with your friends and things like that. And then 5th house is where the moon will be in the south node. Maybe there's some, you know, creative things that you've been working on for a while that finally get released, to finally get, pushed out into the world and shared with your friends. And then I would say, too, that you may find yourself needing to have a little bit more autonomy and independence when it comes to your children, if you have them, or if you work with youth, maybe you're teaching them to be a little bit more independent. I would also say that you're Sagittarius, you may find yourself having some adventures with your friends, going on trips soon, if you haven't already. And this could be just a really good time for you to have some great experiences and finding more of your sense of purpose, how you express yourself, and doing your thing, if you will, out into the world that bears fruit, that offers others something really beautiful and tangible that they can work with. And it makes you just feel like you belong to a community. Some of you may be moving and finding you've just moved or in that process, and now you're going to start finding your new community, your new tribe. All right. One other thing I would say could be for the Gemini Sagittarius axis. Those of you with the sun, moon, or rising in those signs, you may find yourself letting go of a particular group that doesn't serve you anymore and being okay doing your own thing for a while until you find a new group. That is a possibility when you were working at that 11th house. Okay, so now we move into the Capricorn Cancer axis again. I mentioned the 10th and 4th house with Cancer. Now the emphasis is more on that 10th house with the Capricorn rising. With the Cancer rising, the emphasis was more on the 4th house. And so, but again, both signs are going to feel the effects of this eclipse because of the full moon and the axis that they are falling on. So with the Capricorn Cancer, And again, 10th house emphasis, there could be something that in the career, in the the professional relationships, the status, reputation gets exposed. Maybe you're thrust into the spotlight and you're forced to take on a leadership role because somebody in your professional life or somebody in your private life is dealing with some of their own private matters and you have to step in for them. That's one example. The other thing might be you're ready to let go of a particular career because you haven't been able to get to that next level. And you know you're so ambitious, Capricorn, that you need a good challenge. You need to see how much higher on the mountain you can climb or how much deeper in the ocean you can swim. And so you're looking for that next opportunity. And I sense that many of you Capricorns are going to probably leave a role and go on to something different because it offers better pay, it offers better position, better training, better opportunities, you name it. Some of you also might find yourself in a leadership program or finding ways in which you can boost your skills so that you can be an expert or an authority in the world in whatever you do. And I would say too that a few of you may see authority figures exiting during this time. So it could be that a boss leaves or somebody who you have looked up to, or maybe they've been a tyrant, finally gets their dues. So those are some things that may show up for you, Capricorn, during this eclipse time. And remember, I talk about crisis. So there, if there's been, you know, you're like, I'm in this shitty ass job and I'm so sick of it. You may just go, I'm leaving it, you know, and it could be a little sudden. We'll see, because we've got a little trine going on between your rising sun or moon to Uranus and Jupiter. So should be an interesting moment for you. All right. So now we're looking at Aquarius and Leo. And so now the emphasis, Aquarius, Leo, is still ninth and third house, but we're looking at it from more of a ninth house or perspective, because the emphasis is really on, again, communication, opening your mind, having experiences, learning, that sort of thing. And keep in mind, this will be a lovely sextile and trine energy for you, but with the nodes and the sun and moon, which will, I sense, Leo Aquarius, or Aquarius Leo, I should say, that you're going to find some new opportunities that show up because you're wrapping some things up that maybe were communicated the wrong way, or maybe there wasn't a contract or a decision made about it that finally gets signed, and now you can move forward. And in doing so, it gives you some new experiences that allow your mind, your sense of self, your belief about a particular thing that you were working with, or maybe even just your belief about yourself and how you do what you do, that maybe you can finally let all that go, move forward, and give yourself over to some new ways of interpreting what you do really well. Because I think the thing about the belief system when we work with ninth and third houses is that we're learning. We're gathering information to be disseminated. We are taking abstract concepts, abstract thoughts, and trying to put them into some form of organized ideas, if you will, that helps shape our behaviors. It helps shape how we view the world. Our perspective is everything. And I would say that Aquarius Leo, you are working with your perspectives, because it's like, okay, if I always see the universe against me, then how am I going to behave, right? I always say that our behaviors, our beliefs drive our behaviors. What do I believe that I know what I'm talking about? Do I believe that I can, that my ideas matter? Do I believe that, that if I do X, Y, and Z, then I will reap the rewards that I was looking for? Do I believe that in taking risk? You know, all these sorts of things drive our behaviors. And I feel like that's part of what you're going to be working with. And you've already had this, I feel, crisis-wise, in, let's say, do you believe that you're ready for that next step in your career, but you just haven't had the opportunity show up yet? And it seems like you're at every turn, you're sort of blocked and there's an obstacle there. Well, this eclipse could have it removed for you and that the opportunity could finally reveal itself. Because remember, I mentioned the Mercury retrograde, and with this being, this eclipse being at the South Node, is that you'll have the opportunity to be able to release the past. Some things from the past come back. So if you've had past conversations, now they come back so that you can anchor them and make them something real and tangible. Okay, Pisces, Virgo. Now, last but not least. So here we are, we're working again with that eighth and second house. And that is, again, the house of the eighth house is the house of, they call it death and taxes, but it's really about releasing and letting go in order to create more emotional bonds. And that we're, what we're doing is we're actually having this little death, if you will, so that we can be reborn. Very much like I mentioned about what Nine Gates is all about in teaching, that when we can let go of our ideas, our fixed patterns, all of that, we can be reborn into liberation. And I would say Virgo Pisces or Pisces Virgo, that you will be looking at ways in which you can boost your income, gain greater resources, find stronger bonds with a person. Maybe if you haven't been really emotionally invested into the work that you're doing, this is a great time for you to find work that gives you some good emotional bonds, you know, that you, maybe you let go of some of the frivolous things you were doing, the time wasters, that sort of thing. And you finally get yourself in a position where you're just starting to kick ass and take names. And because you are emotionally invested in the work that you're doing, you may also find yourself getting rid of possessions at this time so that you can have new ones, right? Spring cleaning, if you will. It's a great time for that. You may look around your house and say, okay, I need to get rid of that couch, or I need to donate some, go to my closet and donate all the clothes I haven't worn in a year so that I can buy a new wardrobe for the summertime, you know, whatever. So that's also something practical that you may be working with. And like I say, I feel as though Pisces, Virgo, that it's really going to feel good to you to create that spaciousness so that you can let the universe bring that person, the relationships, the things, the experiences or possessions that bring you the greatest joy. I think that's probably the biggest thing, is that if it's not bringing you joy right now, you'll probably say, okay, it's time to let that shit go. So. All right, so that's the eclipse. Some of the themes that may affect you through the houses, and what else is really up for us right now? I don't want to just fill time for the sake of it, but I do want to talk about as I wrap up the show. We just have a few more minutes left. As I wrap up the show, I'll leave you guys with a couple of things. First of all, I do want to pull a card, a tarot card for the eclipse, and a theme that we can kind of work with. So the thing I love about astrology and tarot and numerology is that there is always a correlation. They complement each other. And so even though I've talked astrology most of this show, I also want to offer a card in tarot that we can meditate on. We can see if it resonates for us. And oh, how appropriate. So the card that I pulled was actually in my Celtic tarot deck, it's the High Priest, but in traditional tarot, it is the Magician. And wow, I love this card for the eclipse because it is number one, which is all about independence. It's very Aries-like when you think of the numerology of number one, and it's the beginning. And so the Magician is the number of new beginnings and opportunities, and it's associated with the planet of Mercury being in Aries, which is where our eclipse is. And the Magician in most cards will stand, well, and this is based on the Rider-Waite card or deck, but the Magician is representing the connection between spiritual realms and material realms, and uses the relationship to create and manifest goals on the physical realm. And the magician is also a conduit that converts energy into matter. It can the magician can access all the elements to create this heaven on earth, so to speak. And in my deck, you'll see the high priest standing there with it's like the book of shadows or the book of spells, if you will. There's a pentagram on it. And so the magician is also standing in an open field with a tree, and the sun is shining, and there's clouds and flowers. And there's just, like I say, able to access all the energies to manifest the things that are most desired by using all of the energies that are available to us, the elements, earth, wind, fire, water, right? And the thing I love about the magician card for this eclipse is that we are being reminded that we have access within us, around us, to be able to manifest our hopes, our dreams, our desires. Now, the thing about manifesting is coming back to the motivation. Why do I want this? Why do I need this in my life? And once I get it, what am I going to do with it, right? Because I jokingly say, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And then what? Because very often we get it and then we go next, or we go, oh, maybe I didn't want this. So we really need to pay attention to that, right? The magician gives us the resources and the energy we need to make our dreams come true. So everything is right here at our fingertips. This is alchemy at its best. So now is a perfect time to move forward on the idea that we recently had. It's a seed of potential that sprouted, and we're being called to take action and bring this intention to fruition. Perfect, right? Remember I mentioned that new moon eclipse back in October. What is being manifested now? You have the skills, you have the knowledge, you have the capabilities. You've gathered all these, and whether you're ready or not, I believe that the universe is going to present this to you and say, here you go. You said you wanted it. Now what? Right? So again, get clear about your what and your why, because you're being invited through the astrological influences, through the tarot, to focus and take inspired action. So you have to have focused attention, intense concentration. And, you know, I remember when I first got started in the metaphysical world years and years ago, well, I shouldn't say first, I was a kid, but as far as like studying it and having a teacher that I worked with, one of the things we did was Abraham Hicks. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with Abraham Hicks, so I absolutely love. And one of the things they were talking about with manifestation was concentration, and concentrating for 17 seconds was what they were honing in on. It was all you needed, 17 seconds. And once you're focused on that, then that manifestation starts to get revealed. Now, the simplest way I like to say it is, where attention goes, energy flows. So that's what we're doing. And what I would say with whether you do it on the actual eclipse or a couple of days before, it's most potent usually within 24 hours before a full moon or a new moon. But whenever you decide to do this manifesting, and I would start today and just work through the entire week, grab your journal and really, you know, paint that picture in your mind. Why do I want this? What does it look like? Write about it. Because what that does is it gets it out of your head and into something tangible. Maybe you make a vision board. Maybe you take a collage of pictures and you just put them on your computer. I mean, there's so many things that you can do to really hone in and concentrate your time and energy on this thing. Maybe you just call and talk to somebody about it and say, hey, I just want to share. This is my dream. This is my fantasy. And why I want it and how good it will feel and all of that. That also is a concentrated energy when it comes to manifesting. So yeah, grab a friend, grab a professional, whatever, share with them your ideas or your desires and talk about what it would look like and that sort of thing. So it's a big week. It is a big week ahead. We have, like I say, I've been talking about Mercury retrograde and the eclipse. Another pin on the map is that we've now got Mars, our planet, remember the ruler of this eclipse, along with Venus, our cosmic lovers. They're ruling the eclipse because Mars is the ruler of Aries and Venus is the ruler of Libra. And But Mars moves into the sign of Pisces on Saturday, just before the eclipse. And so, well, Friday night into Saturday. And so we're going to have Mars also not in its best energy when it comes to, because, you know, when it comes to the potency of it. But, and that's only because it's a water sign and Mars is very aggressive, and you put aggression in with water. Yeah, you could have tsunamis, but I think of it on a personal level, it's like a swimmer. Now, the good news, the thing I like about Mars in Pisces in that watery area is that it moves with purpose through the water, and it can cut through the water with this grace and this ease. And so just notice how our intuition, our compassion, our desire for greater empathy with ourselves and others could come into play, which is going to be perfect, especially if we're working with crises moments that we've been having. So, and also we'll have, of course, the spring equinox this week with the sun moving into Aries as well. And we'll feel a shift, I think. I think there's going to be this wonderful feeling of maybe I can get unstuck, or maybe I felt a little lethargic, or, you know, it's wintertime here in the Northern Hemisphere. Maybe I've needed to feel a little slower than usual. Now we're going to feel inspired and motivated probably to revisit our goals that we set at the beginning of the year, check in with them. How are we doing with it? Maybe there's some, we got a little lazy. Now we get the energy and the motivation to actually get it done. So that's a cool thing with the sun in the sign of Aries. We get a little bit more giddy up. So try not to beat yourself up if you got frustrated or you felt that you didn't get certain things done that you needed to get done, because it's a new day and we have to do the best we can with what we're given. I was having a conversation with my partner last night about, you know, the A effort. And he was like, why do people say the A game? Why don't you say a B game if the B's your best? And, you know, he's a first grade school teacher. So I appreciated his perspective on that. And I was like, yeah, okay, I get that. I'm all for, if a B is as good as it gets, then so be it. You know, so again, if you're giving yourself this mark of, I know my limits, I know what I'm capable of and my capacity right now, and it's a B or it's a C, good for you. That's all that matters. Because remember, you're the magician of your life. You're your own greatest teacher, and you have access to all the elements. And I have no doubt that you can manifest what it is you desire most. All right, you guys, I'm going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for listening. And please come find me over at One to Listen. And I look forward to supporting you. I know a lot of all the other great advisors there do as well. Stay tuned for all the other great shows here on One to Radio. And I will hopefully have some new material for you while I'm serving in my role as staff director at Nine Gates Mystery School. If not, bear with me, please. I'm giving it my best, I promise. All right, you guys, have a beautiful week. Come check in with me. I want to see how you're doing, how I can support you. Thanks so much, Jay, for producing. And we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.